Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 38 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista, and as always, I'm joined here by Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
Pretty good. We were going to record last night. We made the wise decision not to. We'll get into that later. But I'm pretty good today. I don't know.
Okay, so why don't we get right into the reason why you're feeling pretty okay today? So we'll get into Knicks a little bit later, but
let's start with the Jets because I need to fuel up a little bit before I texted you ahead of time that I had a little statement prepared.
Yes, sir. So right now, let's talk about the Jets real quick. Jets free agency. Free agency has been going on for about probably a little less than a week now.
Didn't it start last Monday?
Yes. Okay. So it has been a week. You're right. So exactly 1 week since free agency started, and the Jets did not come out with the amount of firepower that I thought that they would, to be honest. I thought they would have made some bigger runs at people like David Edwards, people like Joe Tooney, that kind of thing, but they got off the board pretty quickly. But honestly, I'm not disappointed with their free agent class this year. I thought that they were all really solid pickups. So I'll just go straight from the top down. So right now, there's still obviously a lot to be done with this Jets team. I think that they still have 30 mil in cap, so they'll definitely make a few more moves. Probably not big moves, but they'll do stuff, something at least. But they started out free agency with an extremely big signing. No, they didn't. It was a Lions linebacker, Gerard Davis. They signed him to a 1 year, 7 mil deal. Look, I don't know that much about him, but I know that he was a former first round pick. He's had some struggles staying on the field and staying healthy, but if he could stay healthy, I think that it's a solid 1 year deal where it's not something that's going to absolutely kill their cap if he doesn't play the way that he's supposed to.
You're right. Former first round picks always have upside for a reason.
So, exactly.
You can't complain much about that, especially on a 1 year. He's playing for a contract next year kind of deal.
So then after that, after Gerard Davis, I'm going to rate that signing out of 10, I'll give it a 7.5 maybe. Just because, it's not anything.
Is that what we're doing? We're rating signings?
Sure, let's do that. Sure. So after that,
exhausting. I don't know.
They announced that they get Corey Davis on a 3 year deal. I think 27 mil guaranteed. It's like 39 mil or something like that. I don't know. I feel like, look, it's not a bad addition to this team. The Jets definitely do need a wide receiver. I think he's just going to be in a very similar role to Robbie Anderson was when he was on the Jet team, on this Jets team. Corey Davis had a very big year last year with the Titans, but I don't know. I think that out of all the signings, this one, even though it was the biggest, really kind of, I'm still iffy on, although look, I've got upside for him. I think that he's a great player. I think that he will fit well in this Jets offense. And right now the Jets wide receiving core is not half bad. They let Breshad Perriman walk, but I think if you're going to let him walk, then Corey Davis replacing him was very solid. And I'm hoping that he's able to help this team out in the receiving game because we really have not had much of that recently over these past few years.
I think you're underrating that signing, man. I mean,
I'll give it a 7.
Corey Davis is a major boom or bust kind of guy. If he has a year like he had last year, that's going to be so huge for the Jets offense.
Putrid all season. I think the reason why he had that big season really was because he was playing kind of second or third fiddle in that Titans receiving offense, because obviously Derrick Henry wasn't getting receiving yards, but you had AJ Brown, who when he was healthy was an absolute beast. You had Jonnu Smith, who was an extremely big tight end last year. He's in the Patriots now.
The Titans are going to get a lot worse, I think.
I think so. They're losing a big part of their offense and all of those guys. But
yeah, the Colts are winning that division with my new favorite player, Carson Wentz.
So I'm going to rate that signing a 7 out of 10 for Corey Davis. So going on after that, they announced that they signed Bengals defensive end Carl Lawson.
I think that
this was probably one of their better pickups in free agency. I think that Carl Lawson is a big veteran presence, but he's not that old. He's definitely someone that'll bring a fire to this team. And I think having him on that line is really solid because he's got a lot of potential. Look, he's 25 years old, but he has experience in this league. He's been on the Bengals for the past, I think, 3-4 years, 20 career sacks, 81 career tackles. He hasn't really been able to show himself entirely, I think, his full potential. And I think that this guy has a lot of upside. it's 3 years, 45 mil. I did think that the contract was a little high, but in terms of coming off of a injury in 2018, he played very solid for this Bengals team, and they didn't really give him the correct, I wouldn't say reps, but the correct positioning that they should have.
Well, the Bengals were just trash last year.
Exactly. So I'm hoping that he's able to kind of shine in this Jets defense with Saleh at the helm.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing is, you mentioned that might be a little bit much on the payment side, but the Jets have so much room that they can afford to give out these contracts now and maybe backload them later if they have to.
Exactly.
Or even front-load them now, because realistically, like, the Jets are not going to be trying to win next year. I know there was a couple of weeks where we all thought they were getting Deshaun Watson and that they were going to go off next year, but, like, I still think the Jets are very much in a position where they need to start rebuilding their culture, which starts with Saleh. Obviously, that's what the Giants did one off-season ago. And
yeah,
seeing how they're reaping the benefits of it now, because players are going to want to play in New York if it's not a dysfunctional mess. So yes, the Jets, I think, are putting the right pieces together that players are going to want to play there, that whoever whoever it ends up being is going to hopefully go into a healthy place, unlike Quinnen Williams, unlike Sam Darnold, and, you know, just be able to thrive. And I think that surrounding these guys with these veteran players that have maybe won a little bit or been able to put up numbers, just guys that can lead in the locker room and be a part of that all gas, no breaks mantra, I think that that's important right now. Because, I mean, yeah, the Jets aren't making any sexy moves right now, but did you really expect them to?
No. I mean, look, they could have definitely gone all out, but I feel like what they're doing right now is a little more conservative.
I don't think that would have made sense yet.
And speaking of, like, veterans that they're bringing to the team that have been a very big help, I think one of their best – so, Carl Lawson, I'll rate that one like a 9, I'd say. I like that signing. But – I'm trying to go in basic order just off of my memory, but it's really not entirely in order, but it's whatever. So after that, they announced that they were signing former Rams and Raiders safety LaMarcus Joyner to a 1 year. I think it's only 1.5 mil.
Like contract. I said, upside, front loaded contract. That's not a bad pickup.
No, I really love this pickup.
What if one of the two of these guys boom? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Look, Joyner is 30 years old, so he's not young, but he's definitely still young enough. He's definitely not that old. He's young enough to contribute to this team, and especially with a safety room of Ashton Davis, of Marcus May, and now LaMarcus Joyner, I think that he'll be a very big part in the secondary, especially if we're not able to re-sign Brian Poole.
Yeah.
So I'm going to rate that one probably. Let's give that an 8.5 out of 10. I think that was a very solid, clean. It's a low risk signing, high reward.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's been the thing with, I think that's been pretty much consistent through a lot of the Jets pickups this offseason. Mm-hmm. They went out there with a lot of cap space. They're still trying to keep that cap space for when they have more of a foundation to build up off of, or maybe some young players that can come through this year and earn those big max slot contracts rather than just giving them out to names and being unable to build a brand. It seems that they're trying to do something different with Saleh at the helm. So I respect it.
Definitely. So now going on to the next signing, this was definitely my favorite signing. And I know that this didn't really make the headlines as much as some of the other signings did, but overall, I think that this was the best valued signing that this Jets team has done over this past week. Justin Hardy was a Saints special teams ace over the past few years. He does have snaps at cornerback, but not really. He's more of a special teams guy. I know that he did mention that he does want to try to play some defense with the Jets. Look, we need anybody at cornerback, so that's fine. Like, let him try. But he's a special teams gunner. He's absolutely lights out. I've talked to a few Saints fans, and I saw a few blog posts about the Saints, and it's like they were absolutely distraught that they weren't able to bring him back. So the fact that the Jets were able to get him for 3 years, 5.2 mil about, with only about a mil guaranteed. He's 27 years old. I think that he can be someone like a Matthew Slater is for the Patriots, where he's extremely important to this Jets special teams. And especially with Brant Boyer at the helm of the special teams core yet again, I don't know. I feel like that this was a really solid signing. I'm going to give this one a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Upside, lots of upside, could definitely end up being a big contributor on that Jets defense. And I think more so than the offense, the Jets had room to build off of with a lot of good young players performing last year, like May, Williams. I'm missing a couple, I bet. I know that there were some guys in the Jets defense last year that really did put up pretty good numbers. And, you know, Robert Saleh is a defensive guy. So him bringing in these names that he wants, I mean, that's just got to be reassuring because, well, obviously Saleh's been a defensive guy. And, like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets could propel into the top 16 next year rather than being in the bottom 16 with these names if they all end up going the way it's planned and with Saleh under the helm rather than Greg Williams. What a mess that was. But, yeah, I mean, don't be surprised if a lot of these guys bang. Now, I'm not saying that the Jets are going to be any better next year, or they will be better. They're not going to go 2-14 again.
I hope so, man.
I really don't think the Jets will go 2-14 again, no matter who's at the quarterback position. But do we have any more signings to go through? Because I have a couple Jets questions for you before we
Yeah, so I'll just go through these quickly because we only got a few more. Keelan Cole signed from the Jaguars. He's 27 years old. He put up, I think, 650 receiving yards last year.
He's a receiver last year. He was all right. In
fantasy. Yeah, no, and look, he's nothing special. He's not going to be your number one wide receiver, but he's just a solid guy. He's only 27. It's a one-year, $5.5 million deal. Once again, another low-risk, high-reward type thing where, you know, he had the most receiving yards in the NCAA at one point. I remember that because he was absolutely lights out in college, even though I think he went undrafted. But what's it called? I remember seeing some of his college highlights in his, like, second or third year in the NFL and just being really impressed by him and not surprised that he was at that level in the NFL. So, look, I think that this is a solid signing. I like it. It's nothing big. It's nothing spectacular. You're not going to get billboards up of Keelan Cole around MetLife, but I don't know. Solid receiver, adds to the core. I'm going to say 8.5 out of 10 for that one. Going a little quicker, they also picked up Dan Feeney. I really don't know much about him other than he's probably just going to fight for probably just a backup spot on the line, maybe as a swing tackle, that kind of thing. He's from the Chargers. Just solid. Nothing really to say about that. The more guys, the merrier to fight for this offensive line because they really haven't picked up any other offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something that is worth checking out. So from there, we only got a few more. Tyler Kroft picked up from the Bills. I love this signing. He's a great blocking tight end. He's not really a flashy cat receiver, but he'll do the job. He's a solid run blocker. They got him for cheap. Overall, just a good guy. I've seen locker room videos of him. Just overall, good signing. I'm going to say 9 out of 10 for that one. And then most recent one was Sheldon Rankins from the Saints, defensive tackle. They got him on a two-year, $17 million, I think. Look, Sheldon Rankins has been hurt the past 2 years, and he's definitely declined because of that, but he's still young. He's still a very solid defensive tackle. And I think that if he can stay healthy, he can be a top 15, top 10 defensive tackle. And the fact that he's going to be able to play up with Quinnen Williams, I think that's going to be a very dangerous front if they're both able to stay healthy. So I'm going to rate that one also a 9 out of 10. So just real quick before I let you ask your questions, the people that the Jets have really let go so far that have been signed from other teams, like I said before, Breshad Perriman, he signed with the Lions. I think that obviously Breshad Perriman had a bit of an impact on the team last year, but the fact that they signed Corey Davis and Keelan Cole kind of negates that. They let Jordan Jenkins walk, who I thought was a very big part of this defense last year. So that is a little sad to see him go. Same with edge rusher Terrell Basham. He had a really good year last year. He's definitely a rising star. I wouldn't be surprised if he does really well. Is he going to the Cowboys? I think so. Something around that nature. And then I think that's about it, besides maybe like a backup offensive lineman or something. We didn't really lose anybody yet. And obviously that's bound to change over these next few weeks because free agency is not over. But that's my Jets free agency takes so far.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty valid. Like I said, like the Jets weren't going to do anything major. They weren't going to completely change the game unless they were going to be trading for Deshaun Watson, which I think we can talk about a little bit in just a second. But after the moves that have been made thus far, Sam Darnold is still the quarterback of the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. Who are the Jets picking second overall?
I don't think that they pick second.
You think they trade down?
I would.
I know a lot of people. I've seen a lot of mocks saying Wilson or Fields.
Look, I think
I don't think that's the right move for the Jets.
I think that the Darnold.
Unless you're going to trade. Like, I don't know, man. Like, you're not going to trade Darnold for a non-quarterback. So why would you draft a quarterback second? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
I think the Darnold trade market absolutely decreased exponentially once free agency began, once the football team was able to sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, where all these teams kind of filled some holes where the Bears aren't going to trade for him because now they have Andy Dalton. Granted, that's not a great pick, but I think that the fact that these teams aren't as interested as they might have been a few weeks ago shows that the Jets might kind of be skeptical on moving on from Darnold this quickly. So if they do end up wanting to keep him for another year, I obviously you wouldn't want to pick another quarterback right away, but if the Jets aren't able to get a first round pick or something at least decent, a starter out of a team that wants Darnold, I think you keep him. I think that you trade down. I think you get some extra picks in the second and third round, and you take an offensive lineman, you take a cornerback, and you take an edge rusher with your three or potential. So right now the Jets have pick two, pick 23, and pick 34. So that's three picks in the first 34 picks. So I think with that, you trade down from two, you get to maybe, I don't know, eight, nine, pick someone like a Rashawn Slater. Hopefully, I mean, I don't think that this is possible, but JC Horn drops to 23. Maybe you trade up a bit for him, and then we'll have more of a draft analysis upcoming. But I think that the Jets right now should not be focused on taking someone like a Fields, someone like what's it called, the Trey Lance, someone like a Zach Wilson. I don't know.
Dude, I don't think. I think the Eagles, if anyone would take Trey Lance, and I would piss my pants laughing.
That would be very funny.
I would crack up. I mean, the Eagles are going to end up with Chase or Pitts, but you get the point.
Yes. I
was going to say also, like, just before we go to the Giants, like, what's the deal with Deshaun Watson? I know those talks are really quiet right now. Like, it's not happening, right?
I don't know. Look, the Jets are in a position right now where they have really more assets than any other teams that are interested in Watson.
It's got to happen within the next month or so before the draft, or else it's not going to happen at all.
Yeah, so basically...
Is that fair to say?
Say that again?
Is that fair to say that, like, if it doesn't happen soon, it's not going to happen at all, and at least not this year?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I think that he's either going to end up holding out and they're going to have to cut him, or something's going to happen with these sexual assault cases. I don't really know.
Yeah, we don't know enough about that to really comment on it, I don't think.
Exactly. So right now, everything's still a question mark, whether the Texans are trying to... I mean, obviously, they're not trying to actively shop him because he would have been traded by now. But the Texans right now...
They want him on the team, even though he doesn't want to play.
I think they're stupid to keep him. I think they are, too,
to be honest with you. I mean, I don't think he'll hold out a whole year. I think that would be dumb of him as well. But I think that, especially after getting rid of Watt, like, what's the point, you know?
Look, I think right now the Texans need to go into a full rebuild. I know that... Watson does not want to be part of that.
Whole organizational rebuild, not just the team.
You got to trade him before he loses value. And look, the Texans have had a very solid free agency so far. They've made some really underrated signings that will definitely be big for them.
I mean, no, the Texans are going to suck.
Texans are going to suck, but the Texans aren't going to suck as much as I thought that they were, because they were able to free up cap and they were able to sign some really underrated signings. So, look, I don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. I really don't think that he's going to end up a Jet. I think that the percentage was a lot higher when we talked about this a few weeks back. But, no, I'm going to say Deshaun Watson does not end up a Jet. I think Jets should really stick with Darnold this year if they're not going to make a play on another quarterback for trade or draft or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if they're not going to be trading for Deshaun Watson, they shouldn't draft a quarterback, I don't think. I think that would be kind of silly. But then I don't know what you do it too if you're not drafting a quarterback.
So. So this is going to sound really funny and kind of stupid, but I think that the Jets should have brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick on a one-year deal.
I mean, he performed in New York like 6 years ago.
He's performed in New York. Fans love him. It's a cheap one-year, $4.5 million deal for Washington or something like that. So it's really,
you know,
not
what I remember Jets fans saying going into that 2016 season that he was the guy and that he should have gotten a big time extension.
Oh, I love.
Wasn't there a holdout or something like that? Like, I remember there being some drama around that Fitzpatrick.
There was, because look, he was old. He took a very bad Jets team to 10-6. So there's back and forth arguments, but. Look, I think this year having someone where Darnold kind of doesn't have a guaranteed starting job where he has to fight for it with someone that he's already been acquainted with, but it's just the idea of having that kind of competition, because you know what? You're not going to lose your starting job to Joe Flacco, unless you're injured, because Joe Flacco's 38 or 39 or however old he is.
Joe Flacco's that old?
He might not be that old, but he's like, he's not.
There's no way he's 38. Am I tripping right now? Is he that old?
I might be wrong about that.
I'm looking it up. That's just, I think Joe Flacco might be. Oh, he's 36. Okay, you were close. I thought he was, I don't know why. Okay, whatever. Regardless, that's besides the point.
Yeah, well, look, that's really, I just think that having someone, another quarterback in position to fight for that starting position with Darnold, for someone that's cheap and really just a mentor in general, like Fitzpatrick, it would have been a really solid signing for the Jets, especially because of the history that they have. So obviously that's already done. He's a Washington football team member, if you want to call it that. But yeah, so right now, Jets quarterback situation, I don't know what's going to happen. I think that it's still too early to tell.
I think we'll know who will be competing for the job by the end of the draft.
Well, I hope so, because that's what, a month from now? No, not even, actually. I know it is a month.
It's about a month from now. It's the end of April usually, isn't it? So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I guess we should get into Giants stuff now then.
Go right ahead, sir. All you.
I'll go through like the little small things kind of fast. A lot of depth stuff. One of the depth things that I really liked was John Ross. Mids is really fast. Former first round pick, a lot of upside. Don't mind that. Reggie Ragland, that's just going to be a back of the roster kind of linebacker on a low level deal. Don't mind it. Devontae Booker, that's a running back that he'll probably be like third string, honestly. So it's whatever. And then one of the other depth pieces that I really liked was Ifedi Odenigbo, I think is how you pronounce it. I'm sorry if I botched that. But I think that he has a lot of upside as an edge rusher. He was injured for a good portion of last year. And if he can come through on that side, if the Giants are able to keep Ximenez and Kyler Fackrell and a couple of those guys a little bit more healthy, then I mean, the pass rush would be better than last year. Obviously, that was the weakest part of their defense. Not that their defense was even weak. But obviously, the big three signings that a lot of people have been getting big on, I'll go in chronological order here. And feel free to pitch in on this at any time, because I need an outside perspective as well, because I know that a lot of Giants fans have been going cuckoo over this stuff. But we signed Kyle Rudolph on Friday night, and I think this surprised a lot of people, but I really do think it makes a lot of sense. I think this is going to encourage Jason Garrett to kind of involve his tight ends a little bit more. It's more of a red zone threat, a place where the Giants struggled passing the ball last year, which was in the red zone. So that'll definitely help. Along with Galladay, obviously, which we'll get to. But, Kyle Rudolph, I forget the contract details. I know a lot of it is backloaded in order to kind of save space for now. But let me just look at this contract real quick.
I mean, look, I'm just going to interrupt you right here. I think that it's a solid signing.
It was 3 years, $16 million. That's
exactly. So it's not going to be an absolute, like, cap killer. It's just a solid player. Look, he's going to definitely bring – some competition for Engram, because obviously Evan Engram has not been able to perform the way.
Evan Engram has to have a good this year. He's gone.
Look, I think that this is a make it or break it year, regardless of his contract, just because the Giants fans are done dealing with him and all of his.
Yeah, no. He's like the Gary Sanchez. Like, 100%. He's very much like the Gary Sanchez of the nature. It's like, oh, we talk about like the potential, and when he's good, he's great, and then whatever. I mean, I don't mind the Kyle Rudolph thing. That brings in a veteran tight end, a reliable safety blanket target for Daniel Jones, who we'll get into a little bit later because he has to step up a lot this year. But then this was the big one coming up here. Saturday afternoon, the Giants, after a week of speculation, a 2 to 3 day meeting at MetLife Stadium in that Giants facility in the Meadowlands, they finally locked up Kenny Galladay to a 4-year, $72 million contract. Include a $17 million signing bonus, which the Giants finally manipulating the cap for the first time in forever, which I really do like to see. It makes me think Dave Gettleman's doing a better job. But that's a great signing for them. They're essentially replacing Golden Tate with Kenny Galladay, a guy who, you know, the Giants haven't had a receiver this good since Odell Beckham Jr. And if he can come back from his injury, if this offense can stay healthy, Daniel Jones will finally have the weapons he needs to prove that he can be a serviceable, if not better, quarterback in this league.
Yeah, look, I wasn't extremely sold on the Galladay signing. I think that they gave him a lot of money, and I feel like it's going to bite them in the ass. But in terms of right now, we don't know the details. We don't know. Look, I think Galladay's a great player. I had a feeling that he was going to sign with the Giants since the beginning of free agency, but I don't know. I'm not really sold.
Here's what I'll say about it. The Giants did something they haven't really been able to do in a while. They've been able to go out and get that guy on the offense that could potentially change it all. And it shows the difference in culture and how it's been shifting over the last year for the Giants is that you see these guys going out and recruiting for Galladay. You see these guys going out and recruiting for Adoree Jackson. These guys want to play in New York. They want to play for Joe Judge. They want to prove that they can win with the New York Football Giants. That is something that I haven't been able to say since the Coughlin era. It's something completely different from the McAdoo and Shermer regimes, where those were just weak-minded guys that really couldn't get through to his players. But obviously that's not the case. And people really do believe in Joe Judge, it seems like. It seems like we can say what we want from the outside, but it really seems like the guys in that room believe in Joe Judge, and that's encouraging. And the fact that they were able to get the job done and not let those guys walk out of the facility without putting the pen to the paper is just encouraging as a Giants fan for me.
Look, regardless of the signings themselves, I think that this offseason has been a very solid one outlook on this Giants team. I think that Gettleman really stepped up over this past week or so and has really shown his kind of desire to make this Giants team better, because obviously he's made some questionable moves in the past that have definitely raised some eyebrows for this Giants team.
His last two off seasons to this point have been much better than his first two. I'll tell you that much.
Look, the most recent signings that this Giants team has made, Adoree Jackson this morning, Kenny Galladay, it's definitely very high risk, especially with the money that they're giving up, because they really don't have as much cap as...
Yeah, but a lot of it is not guaranteed, and
exactly. And that's why I really think...
They're able to continue building. Like, the Giants are apparently now in on Trey Turner, which would be huge.
Wow, yeah, I didn't even see that.
That was very recent. If they're able to do that, that might be like...
Look, especially
And then if they pick Slater, like, there's no reason why the Giants shouldn't be competing for the NFC East.
With the division that they're in, I really think that this Giants team can be a wild card team, whether that be winning the division and then being a low division seed, or being the 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever it is. No, not 8, but...
Yeah, the 6 or 7.
6 or 7, yeah. I think that this Giants team has what it takes, maybe not to make the playoffs, but look, they almost did it last season. You saw how handicapped they were. Now that you're getting Saquon back, you're getting a lot of really good additions from free agency. You're getting a look, the reason why I slightly like the Galladay signing is because you're pairing up one of the best deep throwers in the league. And
yeah, you know, people don't realize how good Daniel Jones is at throwing the ball down.
Exactly. And like, we haven't,
really I don't think people understand that he's top three, according to PFF. He was top three in the league last year.
We haven't been able to see smaller sample size
than the other guys. He did a good job. And he was throwing to Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard, who are not wide receiver ones, who are not go up and get it guys. You know what I mean? Like, he has that guy now. And he has his all pro running back now, hopefully coming back and playing at that same level. And he's got a lot of second and third year guys in the offensive line that'll hopefully start meshing. He's got a rejuvenated Evan Engram, hopefully, and a tight end that he can rely on that is a good pass catcher and a red zone threat. There's no reason why Daniel Jones, if he is the quarterback the Giants fans hope he is, doesn't take the next step this year and lead them to at least 8 wins.
Look, Daniel Jones is a deep ball thrower, and I think Kenny Galladay is the best 50-50 ball catcher in the league right now. Granted, that doesn't make him one of the best receivers in the league. I think that he's top 10, but
he could be top 10. He could very well could be top 10.
Exactly.
And with people saying the overpayment, that's just the way the market's been swinging. You're never going to get good face value off the market. And if you do, like, then it's just a miracle. And who knows? Like, I'm hoping that Kenny Galladay can have an Artemi Panarin type entrance. He had in New York last year with the Rangers, or I'm trying to think about like who else has been like a great free agent signing for like a New York team. Like, is Garrett Cole a good example? I don't know. Yeah, someone, you get the point. Like, that when you get these guys, there's a sense of excitement coming around it. And it seems that Kenny Galladay is hungry to prove it. And he seems very bought into the Giants system, and I'll just build off of that right now. They got Adoree Jackson today, and here's my little rant that I'll make. He got very, very much well recruited by guys like Logan Ryan, other guys on the defense, other guys just on the team in general. And the Giants, because they're building a different culture, a winning culture, a place where players want to play, were able to lock it up, and he never took that bus ride down to Philly. And here's another reason. Because you guys remember when I was being a little baby 2.5 months ago about the Eagles throwing a game, like the last game of the season, game 256, and you guys were like, oh, Kyle, you're being a baby. You're being a sore loser. This is what it comes down to. The Eagles lost a game on purpose in front of primetime TV in front of everyone, and then they couldn't get one of their main wide receiver, cornerback, just overall free agent targets to even come visit them because the Giants swooped in, and they had a better culture, and they had players that were recruiting them to play in New York, and the Eagles just don't have that right now. And that's what people were failing to recognize. This is a perfect example. That's what people were failing to recognize 2.5 months ago. The Eagles lost a game on purpose. How do you think that makes the players feel? How do you think that makes free agents that want to go there feel? Like, no one wants to play in Philly right now. And also, they're going to stink next year, as opposed to the Giants, who had, they had all their guys in. Gettleman was prepared. Judge was prepared. They got Logan Ryan to fly up from Florida. They had other guys shouting out on social media all week long. Saquon Barkley, blah, 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 blah. It looks good. It looks good. So the Giants are in a good spot, I think, mentally as an organization right now, as well as they're putting a better football team out on the field.
All I'm going to say is that this NFC East, I really predict that it's going to be even more entertaining this year than it was last year. And you know how entertaining it was last year.
Well, it's going to be a 3-team race for sure. I mean,
I genuinely think it could be a 4-team race.
No, it won't. The Eagles are trash. The Eagles will win.
Man, don't speak too soon.
The Eagles are going to be terrible. I promise you. I promise you the Eagles are going to be terrible. And I have to say this right now because I was texting him earlier. Shout out to my friend Kenny Schiavone on always being a Dave Gettleman believer, because he was getting on my my ass today about how skeptical I've always been of Dave Gettleman. And I still am, because until him and Daniel Jones go out and win this year, I will be, because he's been terrible ever since he's gotten here. The team has been terrible. So if they go out and win this year, I'll be quiet about Dave Gettleman. But, yeah. That's
any that. Any other Giants points you'd like to hit on?
I'll just say that this is I said this to you before we started recording. This is the prove it year for Jones and Gettleman. And if they're not going to win with these weapons this year, if they're able to stay healthy, they're never going to win with these guys.
So that sounds good.
So hopefully Jones steps up and has his breakout season, and hopefully everyone stays healthy. I mean, the Giants secondary is going to be very good as well. Like that there's no reason that defense can't be a top five defense in the league if they stay healthy. There's a ton of depth there. I mean, they got Peppers and Ryan in the safety. And then they're going to have Bradberry playing opposite of Jackson with guys like Yadam, Julian Love, and Xavier McKinney, young guys with a bunch of upside as their depth pieces. They could be really good, especially with the re-signing of Leonard Williams. I mean, they could get a lot of coverage sacks. Like, that's a very good secondary.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
So, yeah, that's that. I mean, let's talk about the Knicks for a little bit.
Honestly, I was going to say, I don't really think – I think we keep the Knicks one to another episode in a few days. Just because –
when did the Knicks play? Did the Knicks play Tuesday and Thursday?
I believe so. Let me just double-check that real quick. The Knicks' next game is tomorrow, so Tuesday, yes.
And Thursday. Oh, yeah, they played Tuesday and Thursday against the Wizards. Can we just hit on it for, like, 2 minutes?
Yeah, let's go real quick.
That was some complete crap at the end of the game
yesterday. Real quick, let's go.
Utter BS. That was probably you're boxing a guy out. You're playing hustle basketball at the end of an overtime, and you're going to make a call on that. You're going to make that call with 5 seconds left in a 1-point game. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Very messed up.
I mean, like, what do you have to say about it? That was terrible. That would have been the best win of the year.
I watched the fourth quarter of that game, and I was pretty much infuriated. That really made me mad. And like, I wasn't even watching it like religiously. Like, I was just kind of looking back and forth, like, you know, okay, that's cool. No, that was really not how the game should have ended by any means.
Just to end a game like that on such a weak call, and to even if it's an obvious foul, that's hard to make a call in that moment. And like, Dwight Howard was doing that all throughout the game on Nerlens Noel, and just terrible, man. Mm-hmm. Just terrible. That just the NBA needs to answer to that. The Knicks getting screwed by the refs is a tale as old as time, but holy hell. And we can't beat the Sixers, man. It sucks.
It's sad.
It sucks. Mm. I mean, hopefully the Knicks will win the next two, and we'll have a happy Knicks show on Thursday.
I had two games against the Wizards. Both are definitely
they have to win both.
Winnable.
I told you they had to go 3-1 on this homestand. They have to win both.
Well, we'll get more into depth with this next
team. The Rangers have points in 5 of their last 6.
Yes.
So, I don't know. They're 4 points out of a playoff spot. But like I said, I don't expect them to make the playoffs. And then baseball, since we're just going to go around the horn here, we'll talk a lot about very soon. Because obviously we're less than 2 weeks away from opening day, which is really exciting.
We'll definitely have some special guests on.
We're going to have a Yankees and a Mets episode coming up soon.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's exciting. Do you have anything else?
No, that's about it for me. What about you?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We pretty much talked football the whole time. I'm chill with that, though. We haven't talked about football in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since we were able to have a full in-depth episode about football. So I'm glad we were able to talk about that. We'll have more in-depth things with the NFL draft as that comes up and maybe with the latter half of free agency. But for now, I think that's pretty much about it. That just about wraps up our episode 37 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. So just real quick, drop my socials. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at Anthony Evangelista, or on Twitter at AnthonyEV7. You could follow Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram at Big Apple Sports Media, on TikTok at Big Apple Sports Media, or on Twitter at Big Apple SP Media.
As always, I'm at Kyle Keegan, but the L is the one. That's Kyle E. Keegan if you want to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I've been tweeting a lot lately about the Knicks, and people seem to love it. So,
Kai 1E Keegan, back at it again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Do we have any funny quib things just to talk about for ha-ha-ha moments? Spring break coming up.
Kyle's girlfriend doesn't love him.
That's just not true. don't even make those jokes. Don't even make those jokes. You're trying to hurt my feelings. I'm visiting Penn State.
Woo.
Over break, so we'll see how that goes. Yeah, I'm starting the college process, and my SAT scores come out on Friday, so I get to stress all week.
Well, let's make some predictions. I'm going to say like a 10-20.
I'd be happy with a 10-20.
Okay. Well,
I'm not going to make a prediction for my own score. I feel too nervous about it as it is, but I'd be chill with a 10-20.
Fair enough. Well, I wish you the best of luck. It's sometimes weird. I forget that you're a year younger than me, but.
Yeah, I know. I act like I'm a year older than you. You immature little so-and-so.
So that just about wraps up our episode. Is this 37? I might have been saying 37.
No. Right?
It's episode 38. I was wrong. Oops.
Lots of fun stuff coming up. We're recording 2 times a week officially. We are consistently doing that now. We're going to have a big spring, dude.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a big spring.
We will have a big spring.
Yeah, we're officially recording 2 times a week. Like, we're not going to be all gas, no brakes. Robert Saleh. Good night, folks.
Take care.
Thanks, guys.